something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Love is a miracle. Love is a fucking miracle.
You can't put
You can't put that in a pill. Or else scientists would be selling that up too, bottling it up, saying.
Well, they've been trying to do that. I think that's called Molly.
I was going to say, that's a serious shit, right?
Welcome to Kesha and the Creepies. Okay, let's get into it. We're welcoming Insane Clown Posse. Hey!
Hey
guys, thank you so much for being here on Kesha and the Creepies.
Let's just get into it. Thank you for having us, for real.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's jump in ass first.
Yeah, let's jump in ass first. That's my method, usually. You guys look so sick. I fully admire the dedication to the makeup game.
Well, thanks. I mean, we've been doing this for so long, it's not even dedication no more. It's just routine. You know, it's just like brushing your teeth in the morning. You put on paint.
I when I dream at night, I'm painted up every time. You know what I mean?
When I ain't got it on, I'm scared to touch my face because I think I'm going to fuck it up when it's not even on because I'm so used to having it on.
That's how I feel about, like, with my hair. Like, I have extensions in and I always... I'm like, don't touch the hair. Don't touch the hair. Don't touch the hair because I forget if it's real or not.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
I've been obviously like aware of you and a fan of who you are and what you just, you've cultivated something that's fucking insane. And to see that from when I was a little kid growing up, you're like mystical beings. You guys are like, it's like Batman and Robin.
For
like, it's
real?
So
for
real? To get to talk real? To you guys.
I really like the word mystical. That was a shit. Never got called that. But seeing that, I've never been called mystical.
For real, though, that's what it's like? I mean, are you just saying that or is that for real?
No, for real. There's always been this lore and legend behind who you are and the culture you've created and your fans. I do think that they're... is something about y'all that's really hard to pinpoint and even articulate. It's just, you're on some other level. You have your own shit going.
I have a theory for why it's like that. Because
Tell me, please.
I've heard that before. Honestly, I heard that before. I try to remember who said that. When we were in New York City and we were doing... We're making appearances at the big hip hop stations. You know what I mean? Like Hot 97 and like
Sways, yeah, Sways. Yeah.
Or, Slim Shady's radio, what is it?
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, Sway does. Yeah, Shady FM.
You know, we were doing that stuff. And those guys, you know, they get all kinds of names on the shows, obviously, everybody in hip hop, you know? And they were like, whoa, it's like, you guys are, you know, basically the same thing, you know? We were like, whoa, you know? So I've been thinking about it, you know, they said it. And I'll tell you why I think it's like that. I think it's like that. Because even though we're in the same industry, technically, you know what I mean? ICP, for whatever reason, is basically nowhere everybody else is. Like, everybody else is one place, and we're somewhere else totally. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, we took our own route to get where we're at. So we never made the connections. We never made the friends along the way. We never played on the same stages as everybody else.
Right. We were never like on any kind of like the scene, you know what I'm saying? Like awards and like after parties. We were never on it. We were never invited to it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, people think that, you know, maybe that we are these elusive unicorns or some shit.
We never,
you know,
had the manager that used to manage this and such person and also manages such and such. We never had any of that. We just came from literally, you know, in Detroit, we recorded a song in the studio and then pressed up four songs into an EP, right? And drove around and handed them to record stores, put them on consignment, right? And we have done that all the way till today, you know?
Yes.
On different levels, we learn different tricks.
We've been on label after label, and we still are like a grassroots do-it-yourself, you know what I'm saying,
my organization. My point is, the whole do-it-yourself thing has, from those days in the early 90s till today, we still basically do it just like that. We don't get to meet everybody else. We don't get to, I'm not complaining because it's wonderful anyway that you can do what you love for a living. You know what I mean? It's absolutely.
You made your own family. It feels like you made your own family. Maybe the industry wasn't your family, but you made your own family and that's your fans. It's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, we dug our own. We made our own way up the mountain and we made our own route. We dug our own route to this and to that. And doing all that digging and making our own route, we now have a little mini whole city that we just exist in. You know what I mean? And that's why people are like, man, I hear about you guys, but I never see you guys. Nobody does, because we're in our own lane so much that we're in the same place. We're playing the same venues we did 10 and 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? We don't go up and down.
But that's a blessing, no?
We don't go up and down. We don't get hot. We got a single out. It's blown up. We don't. Nobody cares.
We don't know what the fuck that's like.
You know what I'm saying? We don't ever. Nobody pays attention to. Oh, we got some new shit coming out. Oh, you know. Nobody reviews us.
Yeah, we've never had a hot summer. None of that shit.
Nobody reviews our music. Nobody. It's not considered. You know. But that's fine, man. I'm just saying, like, that's why I think we have that reputation, because we're there with everybody, but we're just in another room. We're like, hey, man, we see you through the window.
Yeah, we're in the same house, different room, man. Right. We're like in a cellar.
But really, we do the same thing for a living as you. We just do it different ways. You know what I mean?
Dude, I have to tell you, because you're speaking my language in a sense. Yes, I've had like songs that blow up, but then I also, if a song doesn't blow up, I feel like a massive failure, and I would like to just feel like this. God, that sounds so nice, to just like feel totally like stable, and I finally am like trying to get into that stride of my career. So for me, when I think about y'all, I know what you look like. It's iconic. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows what you look like. Everybody knows about the gathering. Everybody knows about the family. Everybody knows about your juggalos. They have their own thing going. And I just want you to know that there's mad respect from people, even if you feel like you don't necessarily fit in with anybody else. I don't feel like that either. I know from probably other people's perspective, I fit in with, you know, I've been to the award shows, but I still feel like a misfit. I still feel like an outsider. I still
feel fucking insecure. Yeah, you always had that edge to you and all that shit, too.
Yeah, you got a good edge.
No doubt.
Your reputation from where we sit is You're awesome. You know what I mean?
For the like the fucking high caliber level international superstar you are, you've always seemed like they might have problems with you at the label.
You don't follow the rules all the time. You do your thing. And I could see the label coming down and being like, hey, you know, we're listening to the record, and you being like, hold on, I ain't changing shit. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, it's just, if it's going to come out, we think you should. I don't care what you think. This is the way it's coming out, you know? That's your image, you know?
You just have to be you, because you're going to find the people that gravitate towards you and that need you and are going to relate to you. Whatever you is, even if you feel like a fucking freak, because I certainly do.
Hey, by the way, I just had to say this right quick. Super props on the gold tooth. Straight up, that shit was dope. Shit was real dope. Especially for a girl having it, that was dope, man.
Thanks. My mom hates it.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, right.
That's what moms do with fashion, you know? My mom don't like the tattoos on my face, you know what I mean?
Well, so I have to ask, and if it's like part of your lore and you don't want to tell me, that's totally fine. Like whatever goes, whatever you're comfortable with. But do you paint this on every single day?
Pretty much.
Pretty much there's a reason to, but that doesn't mean we have it on all day. Right. You know,
I might just have to put it on for like 10 minutes just to bust out a couple cameos, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever the fuck.
There's not usually a reason every day to put it on, you know what I mean? But it's not something where it's all day long we got it on, you know what I mean? If we're just doing studio, just us together, no, we don't pay.
Yeah,
enough,
there ain't
you know?
No purpose to.
But if there's a camera, you got it on.
No question. If we're doing anything official, it's no question.
I'll tell you something funny about this paint, though. What's crazy is in the summertime, right, like when we're at the gathering and stuff, if you check out the paint, right, the sun, the white reflects the sun, right? But the black actually like attracts the sun.
It absorbs the sun.
So if you look where the black is on our face, like after the gathering, when we're outside in the sun for 4 days, we go home, we either got sunburned or a tan right where the black is on our face. So like if we're going around like after we get home from the gathering, we usually try to take like a week off or whatever. And there's no hiding who we are. You know, we walk into a store, grocery store, whatever. We got the paint still on our face.
Yeah, we shot videos in the desert, you know what I'm saying? Then at the airport looking like straight idiots.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you know, because it's fucking sunburned just where this shit's at. Yeah, it's...
I love that. I kind of love that it's sunburnt onto your face because it is who you are. Fuck it.
Yeah, it like burns on there. I tell you what, though, you know, this is a philosophy I have, and I wonder your opinion on this. We talk about this a lot. You know, this is us in the clown paint. I mean, obviously, Insane Clown Posse has a gimmick or is a gimmick or whatever, however people want to refer to it, you know, the gimmick idea, right? In our opinion, everybody has a gimmick. Every artist out there has a gimmick. If they have a gimmick, there's a problem, you know? In other words, if they can't make a comic book
or action figure or a doll of
that artist, there's probably something wrong, you know what I'm saying? Because the record companies, I think they want people to have some sort of gimmick. I'm not saying they're a gimmick where they have no talent. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying everybody has things about them that make them who they are to the public. You know, because not everybody's going to know you personally the way you want them to. All the people that end up buying your music. But
of course,
they're going to know they knew Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat. Everybody knew that, you know. Those were his, like, all those added together, and the devilness and the craziness and the drugs, that's his gimmick, you know what I mean?
He's super fucking gimmick, the Ozzy, all this shit.
You know, then you got, I'm showing my age here by using these bands, but then you got Pearl Jam, right, which is like, that's my favorite band, right? But Pearl Jam's like super strong, like, oh, we don't want to make videos, we don't want to do this and that, we're not a gimmick.
Ticketmaster shit back in the day.
We're not a gimmick, you know, we won't be sold. Our music does our speaking, we don't need a video to gimmick it out, you know. That's their gimmick.
Their gimmick is no gimmick.
Their gimmick is we don't have a gimmick. That's their gimmick, you know? I mean,
well, that's the thing. Don't you ever go in between the two of being like, because I went for a couple years with some face paint on that was kind of inspired by Alice Cooper, Bowie. And then I was like, oh, I'm growing, I'm changing, I am maturing. And then I went like without it. And I felt so insecure. And so I kind of bounced in between the two worlds of being like, I got this thing, like I have glitter always. I always got glitter.
Yeah, yeah.
But then sometimes when I'm without it, I feel a little bit naked. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people like that, like to see a different side, or if they just want the glitter party queen.
They might see it even if you're not wearing it. They're so used to seeing you with it. They might see it in their head. You know what I mean?
I love glitter. That's when you know you won.
What you're saying, though, is very true, though, because, like, I mean, like, if you're a fan of somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's say this is the best example that we always use. I know I do. But, like, let's say you meet Hulk Hogan. You want to meet Hulk Hogan. Hey, brother, what's going on? Oh, you know, you don't want to be like, hey, how you doing? I'm the Hulkster. You know what I'm saying? You want fucking Hulk Hogan, not Terry Bollea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but now people know the real Hulk Hogan everywhere. Yeah, exactly. More than they do the wrestler.
Right, Hulk Hogan wasn't broke and had to whore himself out doing fucking VH1 shit and all that. Now he's rich again from that lawsuit, but you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we got to see the real side of him. But I'm saying, in general, like, fans want to see... They want to see who the fuck the video is. You know what I'm saying? Who's on that record? They don't want to see Joey Utsler. They want to see Shaggy Two Dope. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's
they want the Batman and Robin.
Right.
And you are serving that so hard, and the dedication to that's insane. Because I certainly have not had that in my life. Like, there'll be weeks I'm like, fuck yeah. And then there'll be weeks I'm like, not doing it. And I think that that's something that you guys have had, that I've always, you always think of your makeup when you think of you. And I personally just don't know. I know that probably for your fans, it's like, you dumb bitch. But I don't know the significance behind the clown makeup.
Oh, I'll tell you where it started. Where we're from, where we're from when we became rappers, I should say. We're from all sides of Detroit. East,
Detroit, yeah.
Downtown. I'll get into that some other day. But where we were living when we became rappers, right? Is a neighborhood, and there's a boat dock in that neighborhood. It's right on the Detroit River, and there was a amusement park called Bobolo. Okay, and what you did was you would cars from the suburbs would and the city, whatever, they would park at this boat dock. There was two boat docks. We lived right by one in Southwest Detroit. You would park your car, you get on this boat, and it's a 3-hour ride to this amusement park on this island. And that ride was awesome, by the way, on the Bobolo boat. It was a party.
Yeah, music, right DJs. On Detroit River, yeah.
It was so cool, you know?
Especially as a kid, that was like, you got to go on a Bobolo boat. That was like fucking...
That was the thing to do, you know?
Of like, holy shit.
And then you get to this amusement park, and it was like, you know, any good amusement park, right?
No, it wasn't. Look back,
it was a shitty one. We didn't notice when we were kids.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was like a glorified fair.
Like Kings Island, you know? It's just a big amusement park, right? So, after a while, we started to notice that cars on their way to Bobolo, coming from the suburbs, right? They would be driving through the city, and some of the Southwest Detroit is pretty banged up and burned out houses or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you see people looking out the window, and when they see us crossing the street or whatever, you hear the cars locked. You know what I mean? And we started saying, we're part of the Bobolo. We're part of Bobolo. This is the freak show, you know, before you get on the boat. We're the freak show, you know, because everybody's little kids in the back window looking out, you know, and we felt like we're the freak show to Bobolo, you know, to the amusement park. So when we began rapping, that was our theory. We had everything figured out, you know what I mean? And we had a clown that was a... like the jester, and he would do cartwheels and all kinds of things. Like, he was like a ripoff of Flavor Flav, you know? He was a hype man.
Is this at the theme park?
Huh? No, no.
No, this is the beginning of our career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wish the theme park was still there. That's awesome. But they took it down years ago. But yeah, we just, you know, we had this clown as our hype man, and when people would look at the photos of the group, everybody would be like, whoa, who's that guy? He's awesome. Pointing right to the clown with the, like, funny you said glitter, because we're all about that. You know what I mean? He'd have sequins pants on and, you know.
Michael Jackson, Motown 25.
And he would actually throw glitter. He would throw glitter around, you know.
It's the best party starter.
Everybody was jocking him, you know. So we hadn't even put any music out or anything, done anything seriously. So the next step was we're all clowns, you know what I'm saying? and we tied it in with the thing about going to Babalo, you know, and the freak show begins here in Southwest Detroit, you know? And so that's where that was the original concept, you know what I mean?
That's so cool. I definitely thought it was going to be from like, I think I read you had a dream about a clown or you saw a clown in a forest. So I had no idea that was the significance behind the clown. But I like what you said, that we're all clowns.
But you
like,
know,
welcome
I think,
to the freak
I think,
show.
Now we call it, nowadays we call everything that has to do with the clown and the carnival that it's that it has become, we call all that the dark carnival. That's the name we've given it. And the dark carnival is something that's in our lives. We've given it the name, the dark carnival, you know, but it's something in our lives, and it's sort of like,
yeah, Mofo's already think we're a Christian rap group or some shit.
No, that's okay. I'm really into like, I'm into spirituality and being a crazy motherfucker. So I get whatever you're going to say.
Okay, well, I'm
going to
give you
it.
The truth. All right. This is my God's honest truth. Okay. When I look back in our music, all right, there are certain songs that I'll be at the studio next day reading the lyrics before I go into the booth, and I'm like, I have no recollection of writing this song. I did not write this fucking song, you know? And some of it, I'm laughing at it, or I'm like, oh, that's dope. And I know I did not write this, yet supposedly that's supposed to be for me. And I know in my heart and soul, that's not for me. Like, I never had a fascination with horror movies. I never had a fascination with carnivals. Did you? I mean, you
not
know,
at
you,
all.
It was never our thing.
You don't fuck about it.
You know, and somehow, you know, certain elements to our music were ghostwritten by this presence that we've
by
named
spirit,
the dark
by the
carnival.
Power.
You know, we name it.
Yeah.
And I think the same presence. Okay, like, for example, you know, Michael Jackson used to say, we're huge Michael Jackson fans, by the way. Michael Jackson used to say when, you know, he would call his producer at 4 a.m. and be like, hey, make this beat. And he would be, you know, beatboxing it out. And the producer would be like yawning. Oh, shit, Mike, can't we do this in the morning? And he used to joke and say, no, because when the inspirations, when you get the messages from above, you've got to take them and work on them now, or they might give it to Prince. that's what Michael Jackson used to say. And
I love that.
So
and
I think
will.
A lot of people that are artists of any kind of way, whether it's music like us or it's, you know, painting a picture, anything. I think some if they're successful and they've got people coming up to them saying wonderful things, you know, some of it, you know, you can't take credit for what they're saying. You're like, no.
Yes.
Like people
yes,
come up and
I
say.
I completely understand. I feel like sometimes I'm a conduit and all I have to do is open my brain up and almost just like empty it and be like, okay, what do you want? What's up? Like, I'm not a religious person either. I'm not like, never really been accused of it personally, but it's just like, you have to be this conduit for whatever message is coming. I don't know if it's a zeitgeist, if it's the universe, if it's a God to some people. I think it's kind of all the same thing. It's this collective consciousness where you're providing this place for people to feel at home with. They see themselves in you. And by channeling whatever's coming out, like people are going to see that and feel more comfortable and more okay with themselves and just feel okay. I really do think that music makes people feel understood and okay.
Oh yeah, music itself is a fucking miracle. I mean, come on,
yes.
It's a miracle. If scientists could figure out music, they'd get together with two other scientists and they would create the ultimate album that's going to sell to every fan on earth, and they would sell 50 billion albums because they created the masterpiece because they can figure out music. But that don't happen because they can't figure out music. Nobody can fucking figure out music. Love is a miracle. Love is a fucking
miracle.
You can't put that in a pill. Or else scientists would be selling that up too, bottling it up, saying,
well, they've been trying to do that. I think that's called Molly.
I was going to say ecstasy or some shit, right?
But I also have seen that there have been robots made to make music and it doesn't produce quote unquote hit songs. It doesn't even really connect, because what I think the missing piece is the soul. And that's the place where I provide. You can't just create a soul. You can't computer generate a soul. I'm sorry. I just don't think you can.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, think about this way. What if when you're writing a song, right, and you're listening to the music and you're really lost in the music, right? What if something from the other side, and we all agree there's another side, right? I mean, the other side, it might be called heaven. It might be God, Jesus. It might be Allah. It might be Buddha. We don't know. We all have different opinions on what's on the other side, right? But let's say something from the other side, while you're in your trance, listening to the music, you're really vibing. What if some angel comes in who used to be a writer or an artist when they were on Earth, she was on Earth, or he was on Earth, and they come to you and they see you vibing out, and it's you and the music is such a powerful thing, and your aura is so bright and colorful that they see that and they come over and they start assisting you in your writing, and they start suggesting lines and things like that, and you don't know it, you don't realize it, but the music is taking you in such a trance that you're actually connecting to the other side, and you're coming out with this writing that essentially isn't all yours. So then when you look back at it the next day, you're like, what the fuck? What is this? I didn't write, you know, I did write this though.
I totally know what you're saying. I have a friend of my mom's tell me that Jeff Buckley was one of my spirit guides. Do you know who Jeff Buckley is?
Yeah, the singer.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, geez.
Hallelujah.
Him?
Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
well, it's a Leonard Cohen song, and he covered it, and that was one of the most successful ones he had, but he passed away, and I've been told that he's one of my spirit guides. So sometimes when I'm stuck on a song or I can't figure something out, I swear some shit comes out of me that I'm like, I can't take credit for that. I don't know who but not me.
That's what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying. You know, people come up and say, oh man, thank you for the Juggalo world. And we're like, no, thank you for the Juggalo world.
You know? Yeah, you guys are the ones that made it, not us.
Juggalo world was not in our blueprints. You know, we did not plan this out. You know, this happened organically.
Our blueprint was famous rappers. That was it.
That was
you know what I'm saying?
You know?
Yeah.
And when everything happened, as much as it's a blessing to anybody who didn't have anything to belong to, and now they have this you know, subculture, this small subculture that's very real and very authentic and unique, you know, it's saving their life. It's saving our life, too. You know what I mean? We didn't save their life.
Fuck yeah.
The Juggalo world.
I so relate to what you're saying much.
You know, it's not us that planned it out. It's not a marketing tool. You know what I mean? It's not anything like that.
We so much didn't plan it out, and it's so much not a marketing tool. We didn't even come up with the name Juggalo. We didn't even come up with that. You know, a lot of people like call their fans something, like whatever, like what did Mariah Carey call their fans, lambs or some shit, or you know, believers and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we never even came up with that. You know, we to this day, we kind of like try to figure out the roots where it came from and shit, you know what I'm saying? But like, we didn't actually, like, Juggalos came up with that
people
shit
say,
theirself.
People ask us, why do you guys call Juggalos, why do you guys call them Juggalos? We don't call them nothing. That name came from somewhere where everything else came from. It wasn't in the plans. We don't have no plans. This is, as much as it's a blessing to Juggalos, it's also a blessing to us, you know?
Straight up.
Is something that's happening to all of us Juggalos, and it's wonderful. And when people say this, man, I just want to thank you guys for saving my life, man. Your music saved my life. First thing I say is, look, man, I appreciate that, but you got that wrong, man. Our music is like a bomb-ass song in the gym, and playing in a gym, you're the one pumping the iron, all right? The music is just inspiring, you know? It's making you jump rope mad quick, whatever. But you're the one that saved your own life. You're just looking for an explanation for why you're still alive. You know, but you did that. You saved your life.
Give yourself the credit. Give yourself the credit.
Exactly.
And I sometimes feel like when they... I've had that been said to me by my fans. They're my animals, and I fucking love them. But I remember at one point, this one girl came up and said, you saved my life. And I was like, no. You have saved my life. You have given my life purpose. You have given my life direction. I would not know what to do without you. So like, this is what love is. Like, it's the first, like, really, truly such a loving relationship. And I think that's one of the fucking coolest parts about you and your fans that I look up to so much and I admire it. It's so beautiful.
I think a lot of people that have saved themselves, their minds automatically don't think about, I did this, I'm still here, you know? They're looking for somebody to credit, you know, for what they've done.
Yeah.
And I say, look, when people don't get it, they're like, no, man, it was a dark carnival, and you guys, I'll say, listen, man, no offense. I don't want to say the wrong thing and make you upset, but this is the bottom line. Brother, we don't even know your name. You know, how we saved your life. You saved your life, man. Like, you know, all we did was make some bomb-ass rap songs. You saved your life, man. And if the Dark Carnival saved it, that's between you and whatever you see the Dark Carnival as. You know what I mean? But, man, you know, you did it. You're strong enough. You just didn't know it. You're strong enough to survive it, man. And how can
I think people have a hard time giving themselves that credit, and they almost need somebody to be in it with them, you know, which is why fans happen and groups of fans happen and then juggalos happen and then the gathering happens. It's because it feels really good to all be a part of the same thing.
No question. That's it. That's especially from people that aren't accepted in other, like, you know, like their peer groups and shit, you know, like people that, you know, they sit alone in a house, they get even cyber bullied, all that shit, you know, and it gives them somewhere to belong, you know, and we accept them with open arms, you know, because we're at the heart of it. We ain't nothing but a couple fucking scrubs, you know
total
what I'm saying?
Scrubs, man, total scrubs.
Down to the fucking T, you know what I'm saying? No question.
Too.
And the thing, we always got to stop and put ourselves in check. Like, holy shit, man, look what the fuck we got. You know what I'm saying? Because it's very hard sometimes to comprehend that it's us in our shoes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what the fuck did we do to deserve this shit? You know, it's crazy. Very, very fucking crazy.
I think it's
at least to me.
Like being open and honest with who you are. I think people respond to you just like painting your face and talking about the shit you talk about and being honest and just being yourself. I really think that it empowers people to also feel like they can do it too.
It's staggering because for some reason we landed in this position where we are the ones responsible for the music, you know, but this movement, this crew of people, this subculture, it's dopeness and its existence and everything doesn't have anything to do with us, and we're not controlling it or it. Some things we do they don't like, you know, some things they reject, some of our music they're like not feeling that.
There's a shit ton of juggalos that don't even listen to ICP.
Yeah.
Straight the fuck
up. They're for the juggalo lifestyle.
So many juggalo bands and rap groups and shit now that you don't even need us in your fucking life to be a juggalo and participate in it no more, you know, straight up.
What's crazy is There's rap groups in the juggalo world that raise kids comfortably, I'll say, touring and making music and selling merchandise and selling things like that to fans, and nobody will even hear anything about them outside of the juggalo world. Like, people think the juggalo world is just ICP. Come inside the juggalo world. There's all kinds of music here. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of artists here. And if that artist just exists in the juggalo world, they may never be heard about outside of it. But does it really matter? Because what are juggalos essentially? They're people. I mean, it's not like they're aliens.
I mean, you tell me. I thought they were your fans, but you're telling me they don't even have to listen to your music, so it's its own culture.
Juggalos are just people that you know, not too many people are like, I'm a juggalo or I'm not a juggalo. When we have a concert, everybody just considers everybody there a juggalo. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, there's no initiation to get in or who's in officially and who's not. Right. You
got like, you know, like just like a lot of reporters and shit like that, you know, or writers, you know, that come into our shit. Oh, I survived it and this and that. It's like, but they always go in thinking that they're going to get fucked with and they're gonna get fucked up, but they always end up leaving like, yo, that was the bomb. Everybody's crazy nice. Nobody's even beefing with each other. Nobody, you know, with open arms, got accepted, all that good stuff, you know.
And you know what I compare it to, and it's kind of weird, but I compare it to this. It's like the furries. You know what the furries are?
The people that like to have sex with people in furry costumes.
Yes. That's what you think.
Check it out. My daughter a couple years ago was a furry. Yeah, and I took my daughter to a furry convention in Chicago, right? Furries are not...
Tell me about that, please, for the love of God. I'm furries, so curious.
Furries are people like everybody else, right? They like to put on the costume they have. There's not 20 people walking around with the same costume at a furry convention. Every costume is unique. A lot of people make their own costumes or they go to people who make costumes, right?
I just read this today. That's called their fursona, correct?
It is the fursona. They have their fursona, which is what they create. They create a character, right? And they like to escape. They like to be put their furry suit on and they get to escape. You know what I mean? And they escape.
And they get to be this thing, like whatever they've decided they want to be. See, yeah, right?
And you're kind of like me. Like, that's what I thought when he first told me about it. I was like, isn't that where a bunch of weirdos get together fucking some mascot suits?
They have a bad reputation. People think they have sex. Now, I'm going to tell you where that came from. I'll tell you where that came from. You know, when it's such a shame, too. When people don't understand something, when they see a bunch of people having fun and they don't understand it, what are they going to do? They're going to knock it. They're going to diss it. Because they're not having fun. They're not involved in anything unique like that.
What is this weird shit?
So they're going to be like, look at this weird shit. You might have seen them around. They ain't shit. And so here's where the sex thing came from. They're interviewing a couple furries, and they're like, so what do you do in your costumes as furries? Anything. You know, we like to wear them and hang out. So the writer's like, so do you have sex in them? And they look at each other, sure. You know, something like that will snowball. The writer goes home, people get together, put their animal costumes on and have sex. That's what they do. You know, that snowballs into their whole thing is all about sex. Right. Man.
Now, is there groups of furries that get together and just fuck? I'm sure there is.
Right. But that's not what they do.
That sounds great. But that
there's
fun.
groups of people get together and fuck. Right. You know, that's just what people do.
That's what people do.
So do scuba divers and astronauts. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean,
you're a human, you fuck. That's basically, that's how we survive, you know?
And it's sad because they get labeled for that, you know? But all that is the media. Dissing and people laughing on it and throwing gas on the fire because they don't understand what furries do, so they knock it and they make fun of it. And it's funny because you were talking about the reporters that come to the gathering, and they write these stories where they do like a week-long piece and they're like, I'm going to the gathering in 3 days.
Wish me luck,
you know. Oh God, I'm so scared. 2 days, I'm going, you know. They all come back, all of them. I've never seen different.
No,
and they're like, man, I got there. I was dying of thirst. 8 different juggalos must have came up and offered me a cold bottle of water. I couldn't believe it. And I don't look anything like a juggalo. You know, I thought, my friends told me I'm going to get lynched if I'm not one of them. If they think you're not one of them, they're like, welcome. And I swear to you, I don't mean one or two. I mean, that is the thing to do in the juggalo world. It's so much kindness. There's not... We're talking about 15,000 juggalos, right? A lot of them inebriated in some form, right? They're partying. They're away
from home.
It's a festival.
It's a
festival, right?
It's a 5-day festival. Yeah. People are fucked up.
There's not one fight. Not one fight. Not one fight.
Between juggalos.
If there was a fight, the other juggalos would be breaking it up so fucking quick. They'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? And yet... Like in LA one time, or in Denver one time, all the juggalos are lined up before the show. They're having a blast. At the gathering, I'm sorry. At the gathering, somebody got stabbed. It was all over the paper.
Oh,
it was
no.
Like somebody got stabbed at the gathering.
No, hold on, though. Before you finish, mind you, this is a fucking festival with tens of thousands of people.
I was going to say that you can't make sure every single person acts a very specific way if you're fucked up at a music festival. Nobody can do that.
That the stabbing was front and center of every story about the juggalos, right? You know what it turns out? Who got stabbed? 2 hot dog vendors were fighting
over their fucking prices, and one stabbed another one. It had shit to do with us or
anything.
They
weren't even juggalos.
They were just some hot dogs,
vendors, man. And yet the press gets it and runs with it to the moon, man. And look, now when you think about furries, I used to laugh at them too. You know, when I was at that festival.
See, but I have furry outfits on stage, and I have been a party to running around in a furry. I just didn't know there was a whole culture around it. I thought it was like, to be a furry, you have to want to have sex in a furry outfit, or to be a juggalo, you have to go to the gathering. But you're saying, like, there is no initiation. You can just be a juggalo, and you can be a furry if you just, like, dress up like a furry.
A lot of people are juggalos, they don't even know it. You know, it's crazy.
So I guess I'm a juggalo and I might be a furry, you guys.
See, you're a furry juggalo.
Furries are so awesome. They're such wonderful people.
I was
people,
casting
you know.
Judgment 5 minutes ago and I have completely, you got fucked my mind. I think I'm a juggalo and I think I'm a furry. Okay, please go
That's
on.
That's what I am. I'm a juggalo furry. Man,
I'm a furry juggalo.
I'm like, I don't got the furry thing down. Sorry. Respect him, but not one.
My daughter ordered a furry costume from the internet, and we got ripped off, you know? It didn't look nothing like what we thought it was going to. And so we made this thing for the internet. It was called Snake Busters, you know? And we put that out, and all kinds of furry saw it. And it's on YouTube.
Man, it was so much furry love coming our way because of this guy.
When me and my daughter
went
to that furry convention, they're like, oh, it's them from Snake Busters. They were so much love. Man, I was crying on the inside of my furry suit.
Right, to the point where our last record was called Fred Fury. People started calling it Fred Furry. Straight the fuck up.
Are you a furry now, too? I kind of feel like now I'm thinking back in my mind.
You want to see my furry suit?
Yes, I do.
I'll have my guy grab it.
It's some real shit. Looks like his mouth moves when he talks and everything. It's fucking insane.
I have like a full... Do you want to see... Is my penis suit out there? Hold on. You want to see my furry suit?
A furry penis?
Well, our people will go look for our furry suits because I have a fuck ton of furry outfits too. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, I like to have it on stage and in my spare time. I love dressing up as like a unicorn or a cat or just... squirrel.
That's the thing. You can be all kinds. There's so many cool things. There was like maybe six girls at this convention were.
My penis suit isn't at this location, unfortunately, but I do want to see your furry suit. Yeah. Go on.
There was like six girls that were like, I think they were mice, but they were together, and the way their design was, they were, their suits and everything, the way they were designed, how can I say this? They like were accenting like their butt and their boobs, you know, the way their suit
cute.
Was. Not, I'm not saying in real life. I mean, like the way their furry suit, their fursonas, they were these mice with they all
stacked
had like
mice.
Big boobs and big butts. And they're like on roller skates, you know, and
oh, my God,
you don't know who they were in real life in those masks. But those mice were turning me on. You get what I'm saying? Because there's like six of them, and I just want to stand next to them and be like, what are you guys doing tonight? You know what I mean? Because they're like...
And then if it took the helmet off, it would have been a 15-year-old boy.
Anything, you know, but that was what's cool. They're living in this this different identity for the weekend. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It don't matter what they look like in real life, or even if it was a boy, they're being what they want to be that weekend, you know? There are furries that have hung out with other furries, and they've never even seen each other outside of their fursonas, you know?
Oh, my God. I'm so into this.
It's super like, cool, didn't it?
For anybody out there like that is watching, you got to be sold on fucking furry shit now, you know?
You're so excited that I'm, like... So I'm sweating. I can't wait to go get
I'm
a
just
furry
excited
outfit. That, I'm so excited.
I'm excited that, like, I think that's cool. Like, you know, I haven't gone to another convention or anything. And my daughter's since moved on. My daughter's not into that anymore. You know, she's moved on to other things she's into. But I think it was cool because, like, for example, like, I remember I don't want to sound like a sucker either saying this shit, but like there was a long hallway between two areas of the hotel, you know, and it was a long, brutal hallway, and I seen this woman walking down it, and she was, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but she was really, really big, you know what I mean? She's probably like, I don't know how many pounds, super
she was
big,
a furry?
Right? Yeah, and she had a furry mask on, right?
She didn't have the suit, though.
And she didn't have the, and, you know, and I just thought, you know what fucking sucks, man?
Even now that a fucking hair that's furry helmet.
You know what I thought? you know what fucking sucks, man?
What?
And she don't get to be nobody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody knows her, they're like, oh, here comes Wendy. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever.
But
because
she could be a furry. I feel like that's why I like the furry land you're describing, is where you can be whoever you want to be.
You can,
you just
but
dress
like,
it
I'm
up
saying, like,
however
if you
want.
If she wanted to disguise herself so nobody knew if she was in hiding, you know what I mean? I just felt like it broke my heart once I understood what furries were. And then I saw her, I thought, man, it sucks I would pretend like I don't even know it's her if I knew her personally. I would act like I didn't know that was her. You get what I'm saying? Like, everybody should get to be somebody
to
else.
Yeah. Because you were trying to create a different reality than your normal stuff. Oh my God.
The fucking mouth moves when he talks.
This is Kung Fu Joe right here.
Kung Fu who?
Looks just like him.
Kung Fu Joe.
Holy shit. Hold on. Can my people look at this? Because it's fucking insane. That is so crazy. It looks like you.
Don't it? It's crazy,
right?
It's
like a mix of you and my cat.
He's even got the wig. Look at that.
Listen.
Oh, he's so cute.
It's not furriness that I'm super into. It's the idea of freedom to let people do what they want to do, you know? And don't have the media knock it because they don't get it. Like shit, true. Man, the same kind of things they put furry through, they put juggalos through.
No doubt. That's what a connection is now coming in.
Yeah. See,
we've talked about this before.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
hearing
what it's all
you,
about.
And
it's
I just
like
have to tell
same.
You, I'm in love with your furry outfit. Now that we're like talking about it, I feel like this is a therapy session. Do you ever remember seeing the Robin Hood cartoon with the fox?
Which one? With the what?
Robin Hood, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Where he's a fox. He kind of looks like Robin Hood is a fox. And I used to like, that was one of my first crushes. That was the first time I like knew I had a crush
there
on
you go.
A thing.
There you go. So 100%.
There you go. Furry love.
Yeah.
100%, man.
But no, like seriously, like the bottom line to all that shit is you know, mainstream media will look at furries and not understand it and diss them. The same thing with juggalos. You know what I'm saying? Once you get to know juggalos, they're just
it's
fucking
totally
people.
Not what you thought.
They're
you
just
know?
It's just people. You know what I'm saying? They have families. They go home and eat dinner. They go to bed and get up
it's
for work.
It's not even just people. It's good people.
You're right.
It's good creative people. It's supportive people.
And it's like we always say, we would take one juggalo over a fucking thousand just normal fucking lame ass fans. You know what I'm saying? One juggalo means way more to us than just some room full of assholes. You know?
All day, because juggalos are so supportive. It's sometimes it's
and
we don't feel worthy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're so supportive. It's just wow, man. It's mind blowing. You
I
know what I mean?
I feel you with my fans too. Like I feel you, and I don't have juggalos.
Well, like, you know, you've got supportive fans that'll be there for you through life and death, right? That's the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't
know
what I did to deserve that. Like, sometimes I'm really...
That's what I'm saying.
Awesome. There you go. Yeah,
it's your talent. It's your talent that's doing... It's you being an awesome person combined with your talent. That's it. Enough said. You know, I tell rappers when they want to come out, they're like, do you have any... You know, what? You have any advice? I say, do you have friends that like you? They're like, yeah. You got a lot of friends? Yeah. You like, is there any girls that like you? Dude, I got a lot of girls. All right. Find out what it is that attracted the girls. Find out what it is that made your homies like you and put that in your music. Because other people are going to hear that too and be attracted to you, you know? And I know that's what we did. We rapped about what we were like.
All our own like neighborhood slang, everything, you know what I'm saying?
We rapped about not having no money.
Right.
We rapped about
broke, being scrubbed.
You know, driving a piece of shit bucket. We rapped about, you know.
Right. We weren't at the clubs popping bottles. We were behind the club sparing change.
Yeah. And Hottie's telling us to fuck off.
Stealing the bottles from the clubs and getting kicked out of the clubs. I'm with you at the beginning. Like now I could probably, well, there's no clubs, but right. I feel you. I feel like just being honest about where you actually come from. That's really good advice to musicians is what are your friends like about you? What are the girl you date like about you before you get money, you get successful?
Yeah. And don't forget
real friends,
that.
Not the fucking.
Don't, because that's when you're a real person. Don't, whatever you become, careful about adding that, you know, add what that when you start off, the person you are, that's what connects you. That's what makes you real. That's what people come out of the woodwork.
And that's
like,
why people, like when you first come out, that's why they associate with you so much more, because you're on the same level as them. You're not a superstar up here where you're untouchable. You know what I'm saying? So it's more relatable, you know?
See,
you
like,
just keep that in your fucking pocket, man.
Like right now, Kesha, when you're talking like this right now, your fans watching this, they're like, you know, for the first time, they're like, man, she's so real, man. You know what I mean? They might feel like they're alone. And then when they see you, they're like, dang, I'm not alone. She's just, you know, they know your music relates to them. Yeah. And then when they see you talking, they're like, man, I would hang out with her. She would probably hang out with me.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry.
We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I would love to hang out with my fans. God, I would kill to hang out with my fans right now.
You know what I mean?
Them.
But they're thinking, man, if we lived in the same city, she would probably hang out with me, you know? And you would. And that's when they realize they're not alone. And your music does more than just rock them. It's fucking therapy. It's like, man, you know what I mean? They're realizing they're not alone. They do have something to belong to. They're not the only one like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's something that we have in common. That's like why I was so stoked to get you guys on here. And I was like, we can just bullshit about whatever. And we ended up talking about furries. And I'm so happy we did. Like, I'm converted. I'm fully converted. But I do think we have this.
I'm going to tell you what me and Joey said, what me and Shaggy said when we heard about this interview. This is how we viewed you. If we walked into an after party after an award ceremony or some kind of, you know,
Hollywood, industry shit.
Yeah, industry party, right? And everybody's there. I'm not bullshitting. I'm not saying this just to be, you know, I'm being totally honest. And we saw you were there. We would go up and sit by you quicker than we would right. anybody else. Because even though you've got that success, you just see, first of all, your music is the shit.
Right.
It's not like other people's shit at all. In the voices you use and shit, man, that's fearless.
I'll tell you what made me, what sold me on you being real was, I'm not sure what it was, but you put out some shit, this was a while ago, where and it's like some home movie type shit. It's like, you know, some all-access DVD or something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know what country you're in, but you're chilling on a boat, and you're hollering at just some guy in another fucking boat, and he ends up coming to your show and shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, she just hollered at some fucking dude. He's at it chilling at the show. I was like, I thought that was awesome as shit, you know? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Back in my single days, and you could be on boats and holler
but
at people.
That's real. That was some of the realest shit I've ever seen, like an artist do, you know, especially of your caliber. You know what I'm saying? Fucking pop stars don't do that, but you did.
Right. Fearless.
That was great.
Fearless. It's dope, man.
I don't know what anybody else does. I just know that.
Well, if they think it's fucked up, then they're fucked up because that's just like real human shit right there. That's how shit just goes down normally every day in real people's lives. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like you're saying, love is the most magical thing in the world, and I really think it is. I think always pursuing like love, whether it's with your fans, whether it's with your friends or a loved one or kids, which I don't have yet, but like just like the pursuit of more and more and more love is like. That's all I want in life.
You know what else is a miracle love. That's all around us? Seriously. It might not be as rewarding as love or music, but it's a miracle. I guarantee it. Lightning bugs.
Love lightning bugs.
Just because lightning bugs have been here our whole life don't mean they ain't fucking incredible.
I have never taken a lightning bug for granted. I am from Nashville, Tennessee, and I used to catch those little motherfuckers Thank and kiss you. Them and set them free.
They can make their ass glow. What other animal can do that?
Make your ass glow. Make your See, ass that's glow. A hit. That's a good song.
Come on, man. If there was some way to make your ass glow, you wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? What other animal can do that? I mean,
you could probably get surgery nowadays to get that happening.
How does any animal or any living creature
wow.
create light?
Out of his ass, you know? Nonetheless.
And then
out of
where?
Their ass.
Not out of his hands, out of its ass. Right. It's so
That's
dope.
That's going to be my furry outfit. I'm going to be a fucking lightning bug.
Oh, shit. A lightning bug.
You can make it light up just for like 10 seconds at a time.
You got to do that. How dope would that be?
And now I have to.
Be a lightning Shit. Bug and make your ass light up in your costume. Man.
See, $1 million ideas like going on over here. What the?
Why wasn't I a lightning bug?
You fucked up. I'm going to be a lightning bug.
That is so dope. That is so okay. dope.
I haven't gotten to literally, I have so many questions for you guys, but I never got to any of them.
I know, we babble. So, we babble like a motherfucker.
Me too.
Hey, maybe
I love
part
that
two,
about you.
Knows?
I just blabber. It's okay, I'm going to ask you some like just fun, whatever questions that you can pass if you don't like them. Okay, if you're a ghost, what's going to be your style of haunting? How are you going to haunt people?
Man, I'm going to fucking just pants motherfuckers. Underwears
You're
too,
gonna
though.
Pants.
Underwears too. You know what I'm saying? Pants and underwears.
Oh, I love that.
So just full on fucking dick hanging out.
Well, you know, I would see how are we gonna haunt people.
How are you gonna haunt people? Yeah, like what okay. are you gonna do to motherfuckers to haunt them?
All right, you know how.
Like,
a lot
do you believe you'll be a ghost? Do you think you're gonna be a ghost
I
when
hope
you die?
Not. Whatever yeah. ghosts are
really?
Stuck, wherever they're stuck, I don't want to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you ever well, see they, movies? Yeah, they true, look true, miserable. True. You ever
all
see a movie? The
maybe
others?
Do is like
fuck,
flip something, a light switch or something.
All right, yeah, break a dish or something.
And they just hang out in an abandoned house, and once a
yeah,
year, some kids come play in there, and then
they all
this,
dress from the 1800s for some reason.
They
why
seem
why
like
they all
got
school?
A shitty life.
Why come you don't see no?
This is all true.
You don't see like no ghosts is dressed like in like some Gucci hookup. You know what I'm saying? They're always like wearing some bonnet and some apron.
And they only get to show for like a second.
Right, yeah.
And if they get really mad, they'll scratch you.
Write their name in your back with their nail.
That's all they get to do is scratch you when they get really pissed.
Okay, well, if I'm a ghost, now I'm going to wear my finest Gucci shit and I'm going to wear like crazy heels and a long ass wig. It's going to be cool.
Right. Nice. You know where to, I'm gonna tell you something because I know you'd appreciate this. You like so watching me, YouTube? Please. You ever watch YouTube?
I have heard of it.
I live for you. YouTube is the greatest thing in the world. There's no program director at YouTube. Anybody can have a show. Anybody can have a show.
It's equal opportunity on YouTube. You can put whatever the fuck you want.
You're right. And I love the fuck out of YouTube.
The fact that this is happening right now is like fucking insane nowadays shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Kesha having a podcast with ICP on it. That's like crazy shit. That's never gonna happen in the 90s. You know what I'm saying?
Check this out. On YouTube, there's a channel called Impossible. What's it called again? It's called
I watch Netflix.
You were so excited about it.
And then he can't remember the shit.
You're right. The Impossible Channel. That's it.
Okay.
The Impossible Channel. Like you talk about ghosts and unexplained happenings and aliens and
all
that.
Is that the one where you see the Bigfoots?
They got footage of everything. Everything.
The Bigfoots one?
Yeah. No, that's not. Okay. You brought up Bigfoot.
It's going to come up eventually anyhow. You might as well.
But yeah, I need to know about Bigfoot because that's the one thing I personally haven't had an encounter with that.
You haven't had one or you have?
No, I haven't. Okay. I'm
going to teach you right now how to have an encounter you'll never forget. There's a documentary that just came out. It's called Discovering Bigfoot. All right.
Okay.
It just came out. It's everywhere. And it's on YouTube, of course. It's everywhere. This guy is out 200 miles away from civilization. He's not just some guy. It's not Bob from the junkyard. It's not some crazy guy. It's a university is out there studying, looking for Bigfoot. And they have $1 million equipment out there. They are burrowed under the ground in these tree costumes. Bush costume.
Oh my God.
So they can lay in the dark and lay for hours with these infrared cameras and super cameras to focus in. And they wait there for days on end. And they, okay, Bigfoot's, I may sound crazy till you watch the documentary. No,
it sounds crazy to be dressed up like a bush and plant yourself in the ground for multiple days. That sounds like a crazy job. Go on.
Until you film Bigfoot's face.
This close. You see a fly laying on his fucking eye.
Did you see him breathing? But here's the thing, all around his face.
I'll be the skeptic right quick. The only beef I have with it
is don't be a skeptic.
No. I'm saying like they don't look like Harry and the Hendersons. You know what I'm saying?
What does he look like?
They look like they're made out of clay or something. I don't know.
They focus
like
in
special effects.
They focus in on real? Three of them. They focus in on it's three YouTube, of them. So. It's their face. And you're thinking, well, that's not even moving. Then you see this motherfucker blink in slow motion. And you see the muscles in his forehead and everything blink. And this motherfucker is 7'6". And they're focused in on his face. I'm not talking about some footage where you just see
it. I'm excited about this that I can't wait to watch it, but I have to see it.
I will email it to you. The clip. I'm not talking about some black and white grainy fucking footage where you see his butt running from you from 40 miles away. I'm talking about full color, full camera. And what's he doing? He's waiting because he knows they're there, but he doesn't realize how close they are. He's what's called a day watcher, and he's watching for his tribe of big feet.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's more than one Bigfoot called Big Feet?
They must be.
Or big feet. Foot eye or whatever
did
the fuck.
Do they have big feet? Wait, I need to see a picture of this. I don't care who you are.
If you're over 7 feet tall, you got big feet.
You know, if I was a computer whiz, I'd jump on that computer and pull it up right now. I'd show you. His face is right there. They show three different big feet up close. Like, man, they're standing there. They show like a female Bigfoot that's actually kind of pretty. You know, compared to the ugly male Bigfoot.
There ain't nothing pretty about that Bigfoot broad.
Her eyes are cute. Compared to the ugly ass dude, the dude's just all mean.
Take the dude out the whole fucking equation and then look at that broad again and tell me she's cute.
Man, if you 200 miles from civilization, she ain't that
ugly. If you're raised out there, you're some mountain man, maybe.
Look, you can go.
I cannot wait to.
It's called Discovering Bigfoot.
The lady Cute Bigfoot is chick. Sexy. I'm so excited.
You can't show out here. You
look it up. They oh, man. I'm
okay, I'll look
you.
At. Everyone needs to watch. What is it called again?
Discovering Bigfoot. Bigfoot.
Okay, and we all need to start a discussion on whether or not the lady Bigfoot
is
attractive.
Would you bang the lady, the chick Bigfoot?
Would you tap that?
All right, 1 through 10. On a scale of 1 to 10. Oh, you just got the picture of it. Man, I don't know if you can see this,
picture.
But...
Let me see his picture.
Here, I'll hold it closer.
He's going to focus in on it for you.
Oh, whoa.
Is that the chick?
Okay.
No.
It looks like a fucking burnt marshmallow or something.
No, that's a bad shot of them.
You know
what
it looks like? It looks like Burt Reynolds.
They've got...
Burt Reynolds.
They've got an
Burt Reynolds, that's a new one.
They got a shot of him with nothing in the way. Just full color, just his face, chilling. They got like...
Was that it though? Was that the Bigfoot?
That's one of them.
Okay, I didn't really look at it.
They show three different big feets. And they also show him climbing a mountain.
Okay, I'm gonna Google this shit.
They show him climbing a mountain.
They go mountain climbing. They got
footage of them doing all kinds of shit.
Why is this not national news?
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay, here you go. That's what I'm saying. Same reason that news don't report on aliens, because their colleagues laugh at them.
Right. True.
Yep.
Check it out.
That's crazy.
It's crazy
they don't talk about the aliens.
They did send it out to the news, right? When they have this footage, they sent it out to the news, and one of the news stations picked it up, showed it, and then said, it's obviously fake, right? They sued that channel. That news channel, they're like, oh, it's fake, motherfucker? That's real. And they sued the channel and got paid.
But I would need to see a picture of this on my phone. Do you have a picture of it?
It's real. Man, Jesus can come back to Earth and walk through a wall. Nobody would believe it. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
I don't know if she's hot.
No, that's not...
you don't think she's banging?
Let me see the one you're looking at. They got
whatever you're attracted to.
You got the wrong one. You don't got the one of her in her bikini. That's the problem.
I mean...
There's a mean ass looking one, and then there's a mean ass looking one, and then there's one that looks like a koala bear. That's what I'm saying.
That sounds cute.
You're like, oh, she ain't look scary, you know?
I'm gonna go pet her.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that tonight. I know what I have to do tonight. And okay, I'm gonna ask you like one more scary question because I haven't asked you anything. So I'm gonna ask you one question. I think I know the answer to this. Do you believe in the supernatural?
Of course.
Absolutely.
And I feel like absolutely. I've read about you experiencing it.
I've experienced one very minor thing, but you know.
Do you believe in the secret?
Yeah, I do.
That's supernatural right there.
Oh, I believe in it 100%. That's why I have this podcast.
You know, when we were kids, we had a wrestling ring in our backyard. And I mean, we were so certain that we're going to grow up to be wrestlers. Whatever they were talking about in school, we didn't give a fuck.
And you did.
We didn't care what they were saying in school. We're like, we're going to be wrestlers. We used to brag about it. They were like, shut up. We were so certain we were going to be wrestlers, we would have passed a lie detector test. They'd have said, are you going to be wrestlers? Yes. And we would have passed it. That's how certain we were. But then when we turned 17 to 18, hip hop started taking over our love for, you know, all our love in our hearts. And we were fighting it. We did not want to, we wanted to be wrestlers. That's all we know. Then we're fighting it. Finally, we made the decision. We looked at each other. We're going to be rappers. We let it go. We said we're going to rap for a living. Then we knew we're going to be rappers, right? Fast forward to when I was 26, you're probably 24, 23. Fast forward to our first gold record. What happens? We're out there living our hip-hop dreams. We knew what happened. All of a sudden, Vince McMahon calls us. WWE called us and said, we want you to make the ring music for a tag team we have called the Oddities. And you guys are the Insane Clown Posse. You'd work perfect. And then we're like, hold on. Do you know we wrestle? And they're like, what are you talking about? You wrestle. We're like, we wrestle. Next thing you knew, they put us on a plane and flew us down to Stanford. And we wrestled for Vince McMahon. And we appeared at SummerSlam. We started. My point is.
Hold on. Before you. I just want to concrete the fact of what he said. Like, we ramble a lot. Because you had asked if we believe in supernatural shit. And somebody's talking about Vince McMahon right now.
No. The point is. No. Why you say that? You're throwing it. The point is. We knew we were going to be wrestlers. So we put all that positive energy.
Are you talking about a secret?
When we were kids. You know what I mean? We put all that energy into it. Even though we changed our dream, later on, that dream was like, hold on. You have it. You already earned it when you were kids. So the dream came to us. Just like in that documentary when they're like,
that came back around.
Wish
yeah.
for a Corvette for 3 years straight. And if you don't have it and all of a sudden you start wishing for something else, you never know, that Corvette might come to you and appear in your driveway. You know what I mean? That's what happened. Wrestling came. We weren't even thinking about wrestling when it came. We were like, oh yeah, we might as well jump in that dream right quick and accomplish it. It came to us.
But you wrestle now, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know more.
Or like, I guess not now, but.
We went everywhere. We quit wrestling.
We couldn't have been a wrestler any harder than anybody could have been. You know?
We went to every promotion.
We're doing house shows, fucking Raw and Nitro every week.
And we started all right, let's go back to rap now.
Yeah, it was a lot, man. It was too much.
The point is,
what's harder, wrestling or rapping?
What's harder?
On your body?
Yeah, wrestling.
I mean, I don't know. Just in general, what's more difficult?
Wrestling, because they give you, like, you got to do rental cars, drive yourself, all that shit.
Plus, you got 20 guys
right,
all cramming for a position to
for a two-hour TV show.
For 20 guys, and you get on TV maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and
they fight over that shit.
In rap, it's your deal. It's your shit, what I'm saying? You're the man, you know?
All eyes on you.
So it just way more lucrative.
But doing them both at the same time was fucking insane. The schedule was just like way too hard to keep up with, you know, just every day having to fly back and forth.
The point of even bringing wrestling up was to say, man, anybody, anybody that
you just love wrestling. I know you love wrestling. Go on.
I'm just saying, anybody that wants a dream, you might want to ride a unicycle around the world. I don't care what your dream is, you know. I know I might sound like a corny old man saying you can do it, but it's true. You can do anything you fucking want. You know what I'm saying? Anything it's you true. Want, you just have to apply that energy it saying is. You know
one,
it.
Right. It's like the just one of those like same cases. Like, yo, if somehow we're in the position we're in, that is proof that any fucking buddy can do some shit. If you really want
you
to.
You have to know
Me
it.
Me too, though. I feel you on that. If I can do it, so can anybody
there
else.
You go.
All you got to do is just be stubborn as hell.
You have to
you
know
that's
it.
That's key, stubborn, yes.
You have to know
don't take
it.
No for an answer.
You can't wish it.
Yeah,
you can't
exactly.
hope for it. Don't hope for it. What the fuck is that?
Not one day I'll do
I
this.
Hope
nah,
I,
one
I
day.
Hope I'll do it. You can't hope and pray. What the fuck? Know it. Know that shit. Brag about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to motherfucker ride a unicycle around the world,
and you'll be known in your neighborhood as the motherfucker that wants to drive a unicycle around the world. So when you do it later in life, you're like, that's all that kid used to talk about was driving a unicycle around the world. And he did it.
Wear a platinum unicycle around your neck, a unicycle on your back. Know you're going to do that shit. Brag about that fight, man. I mean, know you're going to do it, and it will happen, man. That's the thing. Oh, and it also worked negative. If you're constantly saying, I know I'm going to get hit by a car one day, you're going to. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm going to die in a plane crash. Quit thinking that shit, because it will happen.
Yeah, you have to change your brain, and then your ass will follow.
That's right.
And then your ass will light up.
See, you have a way of saying what I take 20 minutes to say in one sentence. Right. You have a way of saying what it takes me all day to say.
All right, you guys, I have to go interview the leader of the Satanic Temple now. But this has been such a fucking
Tell
pleasure.
Tell him we said what up.
I will. Oh, do you have a new record?
Oh, we don't matter. It don't matter. Nobody's going to get our shit.
Yeah. People don't buy our records. They just enjoy us.
This is my favorite thing I've ever done in my life. Thank you. I'm going to consider you guys my new best friends, and I am now a juggalo. Whoop, whoop.
There
whoop,
it is. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Kung Fu Joe.
Whoop, whoop.
I caught this motherfucker sneaking around outside. This is all that's left of him now.
I love him. I kind of want to make out with him. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you for having us. Much clown love.
Yeah,
whoop,
yeah.
Whoop. Okay. Whoop, whoop. I love you.
Yeah. something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.